seeds. Boat seeds, said the Arch-Chancellor. Probably make good ballast. Senior Wrangler, don't eat the wall, please.
I thought perhaps we could do with more cabin space, said the Senior Wrangler.
Cabins, possibly. Staterooms, no, said Ridcully, heaving himself back onto the deck.
Avast, shipmate, shouted the Dean, throwing a bunch of bananas onto the boat and climbing up behind them.
Quite so. How do we sail this vegetable, Dean?
Oh, Ponder Stibbons knows all about that sort of thing.
And where is he? Didn't he go off to fetch some bananas? They looked down at the beach where the bursar was stockpiling seaweed. He did seem a bit, upset, said Ridcully.
Can't imagine why.
Ridcully glanced up at the central mountain glowing in the afternoon sun. I suppose he wouldn't have done anything stupid, would he? He said.
Arch-Chancellor, Ponder Stibbons is a fully trained wizard, said the Dean.
Thank you for that very concise and definite answer, Dean, said Ridcully. He leaned down into the cabin. Senior Wrangler, we're going to look for Stibbons, and we ought to go and fetch Mrs. Whitlow, too. There was a shriek from below.
Mrs. Whitlow, how could we have forgotten her?
In your case, only by having a cold bath, Senior Wrangler. As horses went, this one went slowly. It moved in a stolid, I-can-do-this-all-day manner that clearly said the only way you get me to go faster will be to push me off a cliff. It had a curious gait, somewhere faster than a trot but slower than a canter. The effect was a jolting slightly out of synchronization with the moment of inertia in any known human organ, causing everything inside Rincewind to bounce off everything else. Also, if he forgot for a second and lowered his legs, Snowy went on without him, and this meant that he had to run ahead and stand there like a croquet hoop until he caught him up. But Snowy didn't bite, buck, roll over, or gallop insanely away, which were the traits Rincewind had hitherto associated with horses. When Rincewind stopped for the night, the horse wandered off a little way and ate a bush covered with leaves the thickness, smell, and apparent edibility of linoleum. He camped beside what he had heard called a billabong, which was just an expanse of churned earth with a tiny puddle of water welling up in the middle. Little green and blue birds were clustered around it, cheeping happily in the late afternoon light. They scattered when Rincewind lay down to drink and scolded him from the trees. When he sat up, one of them landed on his finger.
"Who's a pretty boy, then?" said Rincewind.
The noise stopped. Up on the branches, the birds looked at one another. There wasn't much room in their heads for a new idea, but one had just turned up. The sun dropped towards the horizon. Rincewind poked very cautiously inside a hollow log and found a ham sandwich and a plate of cocktail sausages. Up in the trees, the budgerigars were in a huddle. One of them said, very quietly,
"Who?"
Rincewind lay back. Even the flies were merely annoying. Things began to sizzle in the bushes. Snowy went and drank from the tiny pool with a noise like an inefficient suction pump trying to deal with an unlucky turtle. It was nevertheless very peaceful.